Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's all just raise our hands. You know, I'm sensing in my spirit this morning that there may be some that are discouraged here in the house this morning. This last year may have been some challenges, and you've prayed, you've called out to the Lord, but you've not seen the results that you have desired. And I hear the Lord saying, before you call, I will answer. I'll be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. So the Father knows what things you need have before you ask. So right now, Father, we just ask for that encouragement of the Holy Spirit as only you can do. You know, friends, sometimes we shout, sometimes we get excited, but I just really sense right now the hush of the Holy Spirit. And we just spend some time with Bobby, just keep playing, because the Holy Spirit wants to just whisper in our ears that it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. He hears you. He's watching over you. I just really sense everybody's ears to just be tuned in right now, because the Holy Spirit, as only he can do, hovers over you, encourages you, lifts you up, and makes a way where there is no way, when things seem impossible. I hear the Lord saying, let's set your eyes upon me. When things are troubled, set your eyes upon me. When the storms hit, set your eyes upon me. For he walked on the water, he raised the dead, he opened doors, and he did the impossible, and he's still doing the same today. So Father, right now, everybody just raise your hands and just thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank the Lord for his goodness. He's watching over us. He's caring for us. He's making a way. So Father, right now, make yourself so real in this room. And we just thank you, Father God, for your goodness, for your love, and for your mercy, and what you're going to accomplish even here, this day, in this house, right here, right now, Father God. Touch every soul, every person. And we praise you for it, Father God, in Jesus' name. If you believe that, just give God praise one more time. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Let's greet everybody on watching online. We got about an average 40 or 50 people every week watching so far, and there's more to come. We got a word to say for the valley here. And then also over in the cafe area. And Pastor David, if you're watching, pray for me. Let me do my best, brother. God bless you here. He's in Hawaii suffering for Jesus this whole week. He and Kathy, and just, you know, it's amazing how you can hear from God when you hear the water on the beach, right, Pastor Carol? We're here in the rain. All right. I want to talk to you about pursuing the promises of God. We've been in a time of prayer this last month here. How many joined in last week, fasting, praying, seeking God? You know, God hears prayer, right? And what I have to share this morning is really no new revelation. I'll leave that up to Robert Henderson and Mary Alice and Pastor David. But I mean, the prayer subject is a really broad subject. We're not going to address all the different variances and purposes and why we pray and how we pray, etc. But there's one thing I know, is that there's promises in the Word of God regarding your prayer life. Can somebody say amen? And what I want to do here is just touch base on these promises, because what's happening, and I see things shifting in the body of Christ. We got two extremes. One extreme over here to my right are the people. They know how to pray, seek God, see results. I mean, invade heaven, scare hell, and bring heaven on earth. I'm talking about people that are prayer warriors. Does anybody know anybody like that? And then on the flip side, you got the other extreme where people, I mean, we're struggling. We pray a prayer, but you know what? Did God hear my prayer? I don't see any results. I get discouraged in prayer. Prayer is boring, you know, et cetera. So you got anything in between. You got some people that try to pray, but it's like it says in James, you pray, but you're not asking right. You know, there's the right motives and things like that. And so, but my question this morning here to Gateway is, where are you in that whole relationship of extremes? What's your batting average of your prayer life this last year? How were you doing in response to answers to prayer? See, I see a shift happening. If we're not careful in the body of Christ, we could see a shift where we don't see results. So therefore, we change our theology to kind of answer why we're not seeing answers to prayer. But I think the Spirit of God wants us to sway over towards more like Elisha said, give me a double portion of that anointing. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. How many know God wants people to ask hard things? Amen? And it's just like, you know, we have an acquaintance, David Hogan. I've mentioned him several times. He's a missionary down in Mexico. He get a hold of this. He was in Dallas about a year ago praying for this lady who has had multiple surgeries on her back. They got rods and screws holding her spine together. So here's what Jesus does. I mean, they pray for her, okay? And then they go home that night. I'm talking about bold prayers. I'm talking about prayers that are just that are scary prayers sometimes, right? So they go home that night and they're in bed. The husband rolls over in his sleep and he feels something on the sheets. And he's like, whoa, what's that? So he turns the lights on. There's rods and screws on the sheets on his bed. What's that? And so his wife wakes up and she screams, ah, what's that? They look at her back. There are no scars from any surgery. What happened? I mean, how did Jesus pull those rods and screws out, Marcus, and lay them on the bed? I mean, that is crazy prayer. Listen to this. They go back to the hospital and they take the rods and the screws and they say, we don't need these anymore. 3 pounds worth. I mean, I'm talking about, I mean, Pastor David and I, years ago, we had this lady that came in. She had been bleeding from her female organs, her uterus, for about a year, every day. She had cancer. She had already had 2 operations. So she comes in. Pastor David and I were praying for her back at Evangel years ago, and we discerned a level of warfare over her. We did some engagement of spiritual warfare. Pastor David had a prophetic word, and we prayed for her. Without going into all the details, the bleeding stopped that day. She goes back to Stanford Hospital the following week for the next operation, no cancer, cancer free. God completely delivered. I mean, we're talking about a God who answers prayer, right? Okay, so let's put the foundation scripture up on the screen. We're going to read this together. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. And let's lay this out from the very start. Ready, go. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. See, Jesus set the bar in terms of our prayer life. He said, guys, this is your expectation of your prayer life. Let's remove all doubt. Let's remove all questions. Let's remove all hindrances. This is what you can expect from me in regards to your prayer life. Now, immediately, if you were like I was years ago, I wrestled through because we had challenges in life. How many people got challenges in life? And you pray, you don't see anything happen. And it's easy to try to, well, what about this? And what about that? And maybe this and whatever. And it's one thing that the Spirit of God, what he did with my wife and I over the years, he kept pulling us back to the promise. He kept pulling us back to, here's what I said, don't change it, don't lower it, don't try to reason your way out of it. So from the very outset here this morning, I want you to lock and load on this verse. You may have a lot of questions behind it, but my friends, this is the absolute authority of the King of Kings who said, whatever you ask, believe it will be done. Let's look at the next slide here. I have 8 verses I'm going to go through quickly. I encourage you to write those down or take your smartphone out and take a shot of this or email me, call me, I'll send them to you. But what we want to do here, again, is just reestablish the foundation of the answers to prayer, the promises here. Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Call on me and I will answer you. Psalm 91, you will call on me and I will answer you. Isn't that comforting? God says, call on me. Come on, call on me. I will answer you. And then Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock. Come on. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Jamie, seek and you will find. Knock. How many are looking for jobs? Knock and it will be opened unto you. Matthew 21 at the bottom. Whatever you ask in my name. No, I'm sorry. It says there, Matthew 21. All things, whatever you ask in my name, believing, you shall receive. John 14. Here, Jesus says at the Last Supper. He says, guys, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How many people believe that here this morning? Ask anything in my name and I will do it. John 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. John 16, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in that day in my name, he will give it to you. 1 John 5, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we asked of him. Do we believe these scriptures here this morning? Do we believe the absolutes of the word of God? Do we believe that God is able to keep his word in our life? So my friends, what the thrust here this morning is, and the one thing, the one takeaway here, is to get our faith locked onto this year, the ability and the potential of what your prayers can do. We want to segue over to this year and pursue the promises like never before, because I believe God has us right on the tipping point of some breakthrough prayers that you're going to pray because you're locking in on the promises of God. Can somebody say amen this morning? But there's two things I want to talk to you about here for the rest of the morning here, and that number one is things that we need to stop doing. Things that we need to stop doing. So let me walk you through three things here. Number one, things that we need to stop doing is stop praying ineffective prayers. Stop praying ineffective prayers. And really, I'm preaching to myself, okay? So I got one finger out and three fingers pointing back at me because I have a tendency to do this. What are ineffective prayers? These ineffective prayers are prayers that you pray where you really don't stay focused. You don't have any inertia behind that prayer. You just, you know, like me, let me give you an example. Years ago, my oldest son, Dan, was about 12 years old. He got the flu and he had, 101, 102 degree temperature. And as a good father, before we go to bed, I go in and I just say this kind of, just a prayer. I just threw this out there, right? I know none of you do that, but I just did that. Oh Lord, bless my son, whatever. And he's sitting there burning up, whatever. And I go to bed. And then a couple days later, Dave, I don't know if Dave, is Dave here? Wave your hand, Dave. He comes to the second service. Dave had the flu. He was about 7 years old, and he was burning up. I go in, and I just kind of say a general prayer, and Lord bless you, whatever, and I went to bed. Then a couple days after that, Joe, my second son, he gets the flu, and he's really hot, and I go in for the third time, and I lay hands on him, and I said, oh, Lord bless him, whatever, just kind of a half-hearted prayer. Nothing, didn't really engage into it, and I'm walking down the hallway. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. And the Holy Spirit said, stop, go back and deal with it. I know that the Lord doesn't talk to you that way, but this is the way he talked to me. So I go back in the room. I mean, the Lord was trying to get my attention. I go back in the room. I lay my hands on my little boy, Joe, and I said, in Jesus' name, I take authority over this flu. I break its hold. I command healing. I mean, see, there was a little more inertia. There was a little more focus, a little more expectation with the intent of getting something done in prayer. It wasn't just kind of just waving the hand. And I felt in his head, I felt the temperature go down as I was praying. He sits up totally healed within seconds. See, friends, there's a difference between ineffective prayer and, for my case, engaging into a prayer where you expect things to get done. Amen? Okay, number two, stop praying just empty words over and over, over. Now, again, I'm preaching to myself because sometimes I start doing this here. I was raised Roman Catholic, and my mom used to take us, my brothers and I, to confession on Saturday night. And so we'd go in, and I'd go to the priest, and I'd kneel down in that little box and scare me really bad, and so all the lights are out and whatever. And bless me, Father, for I have sinned because I'm a six-year-old. I'm wicked, vile, decrepit, just hideous, just a mess. And the priest said, are you sorry for your sins? Oh, yeah, I'm just whatever. And he says, okay, so go and say for your penance, five Our Fathers, five Hail Marys, or something like that. And we were really good. We go back down to the chapel, and we could whip those prayers out, I mean, like in 20 seconds, bam. And because we could, Our Father, who art in heaven, Our Father, who art in heaven. We were just saying words. Jesus said, don't pray like the Pharisees, okay? Where they just repeat words over and over again, okay? And so, but I catch myself doing that. I was at a prayer meeting a couple of years ago, and we got together, and I just started praying prayers like, you know, just, Lord, bless the country, bless this, bless that, bless that. The Holy Spirit said, stop. Stop it. Pray. Engage. Don't just say words. Pray like you believe something's going to happen. Pray like, Like you expect prayer to do what it was designed to do. Prayer was designed to change things, friends. Prayer was designed by God to get things changed in the atmosphere. Jesus said, here's how you pray. Don't change it. You want to see something happen? Pray and believe and expect. Got it? Number three, stop allowing the enemy any foothold to hinder your prayers. How many know there are things that God has already made available we really don't need to pray about? Hello? Let me give you an example. Salvation. Jesus already made available salvation. Whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. So do we go to the Lord and say, oh Lord, please save me. Please, 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 please save me. What would you say to that person? Hey, he's already made it available, okay? And a lot of times when our prayers, a lot of times we're praying to the Lord when really we should be engaging in something where the enemy is wanting to rip us off, take advantage of, and or encroach upon what God is wanting to do. Sometimes it gets redirected. Let me give you an example. My oldest son, Dan, got married, and his wife, Mickey, they lived in Kansas City. She gets pregnant, and the months go by, and then has a miscarriage, and it was really hard on them. Okay, so time goes by, and she gets pregnant again. And I'm in Sacramento at a conference in my hotel, and the phone rings. She's about 7 months pregnant with a little boy, and they had already named him Elijah. And I get a call from my dad, from Dan, my son, and he said, Dad, the doctors just came in, and they said this little boy is going to die at any moment. And I'm thinking, oh, no. They've already been through a miscarriage, and this is happening again. So we said a little prayer, and I hung up the phone, and I went for a walk. And I began to cry, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, I feel sorry for Mickey. I feel sorry for Dan. Oh, Jesus, what about, oh, and I just began to go down this trail, which was more of a self-pity type arrangement, right? And I was out just for a little bit, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit stopped me. This is the way the Holy Spirit talks to me. Holy Spirit stopped me and said, stop. You know what to do. You go back to your hotel and take care of what I have taught you to do. I knew immediately what he was talking about. So I stopped, Rick, right there in my tracks, went back to my hotel room, picked up. Now, this is my story, okay? You might think this is over the top, but that's fine. This is my story. I know what happened here because I called my daughter-in-law, Mickey, and I said, Mickey, put that phone on your belly. So she puts the phone, the receiver, on her belly. Now, see, I already knew his name was Elijah. And so I said, Elijah, this is your grandpa. This is our first conversation together. You will live and not die. I rebuke that spirit of death over you. I command that heart to pump the way Jesus designed it. See, what I did is I shifted from it being me the focus and the woe is them to engaging into a realm of spiritual warfare. Some of us, we need to learn how to do that. And we can do that. Pastor John, we got Cleansing Stream, we got Gateway Healing Network. Some of us need to know how to engage a little bit stronger. And so I went to war over that little guy. In Jesus' name, I said, you will not die, but you will live, and you will declare the word of God. The doctor comes in about a week later, who was a Christian, and says, you know, we've had a miracle. His heart is fine, and he's going to be fine. He was born. He was here at Christmas. He's 12 years old now, and he walks up to me. He says, you know, Grandpa, I want to do what you do. I want to preach. I want to declare the word of God, etc. So I said, well, go read your Bible and get ready. My friends, listen, many times we have, God has already dealt with some areas, and he says, this is what I need you to do. See, for instance, he says, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Any questions? I mean, see, this is what we got to do, is we got to move over to where there's the promises of God and hold on and not let go. Three things we need to start doing. Next one here. Three things. Number one is we need to pray new prayers. Isaiah 43 says, behold, I will do a new thing. See, what we are going to do here at Gateway, listen to this prophetically, we're going to position ourselves in our small group, in our prayer meeting, Saturday morning prayer. We're open here at 6 o'clock. I encourage everybody to come because here's what's going to happen. And I encourage you to do this in your home. Husbands and wives, get together with your family, with your kids, your family prayer time. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will show you things to come. And we need to get to a place where we can position ourselves, John Cohen, where we can hear what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and we then take what he wants to do and pray that in on earth. You see, some of us get stuck praying the same old things that we've been going through for years in the past. Jesus says, no, I'm going to do a new thing. There are prayers to be prayed that have never been prayed before on this earth. There are prayers to be prayed over your family, over your finances, over this city that have never been uttered in the courts of heaven before. But you will, as you hear, engage before the Heavenly Father, and with all boldness, with all unction, prophetically begin to declare what you're hearing from God. That's why we need to get together. What, Pastor John, what is God showing you? John Etheridge, what's God showing you? Let's lock and load, and let's hear prophetically, because you see, there are secrets in heaven that Jesus wants to begin to share on earth with us, his people, the body of Christ. He's got stuff to share with us about America, about foreign countries, etc. In fact, he's looking for people. Get a hold of this. The book of Isaiah, half of it is yet to be revealed. Half of it is yet to be done. And in my Bible, I've got over 22 verses that show in principle how God says, I'm looking for a man and a woman to stand in the gap. These are things that I want to do. Are my people going to hear? Because I want you to pray new prayers. Everybody say, pray new prayers. Pray new prayers, because you see, as God speaks, we listen and we begin to engage in his promises. The second thing here that we need to start doing is pray the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18, if any two get together and they pray and they agree, I will do it. Does that sound theologically pretty simple? That's pretty simple. Amen? Pastor Don Phillips, Jesus said, whatever you and your wife get together and agree, it'll be done. Because you see, wherever two or three are gathered, there's the presence of Christ. And I believe we're going to step into some realms, Joe, of agreement here that will make hell scared. I mean, just frightened because of the power behind it. Let me give you some examples. My wife and I mean, we're just brand new married. She has my son, Daniel. He's born in the hospital. And so I go in to check him out from the hospital. And the lady behind the desk says, that'll be $250. Fred, I didn't have $250. So what do you do? I go, what are they going to keep my guy hostage? What? So I go back to my wife. Now you see, my wife and I, she's not here this morning, but we know that when we hold hands and we agree, it's done. Why? Because Jesus said it. Don't go asking questions. Just hold on. And so we agreed in Jesus' name for $250. Now we had some friends coming in from back east that afternoon, so I went back to the apartment and they walked in the door a couple of hours later. Now we didn't tell anybody this, but Sherry walks in, gives me an envelope, and there's money in the envelope. How much money's in the envelope? We're going, thank you, Jesus. A couple of months after that, we needed a washer and dryer. What do? You grab hands, we asked for a washer and dryer, we were given a washer and dryer. That took 3 months. I wanted a piano. A couple of months after that, I wanted a piano. I play piano once in a while. And that took 8 months. We agreed, and we were given a piano. I mean, we start going down the list here. For instance, my wife did homeschooling for 24 years. God bless her. She's a champion. But we were getting the kids up in high school, and we needed some computers. We didn't have the computers, didn't have the money for the computers. So what do? You agree in Jesus' name. And within 24 hours, we were given two brand new PCs, high-powered PCs, so we can teach our kids. You see how that works? Is that easy? Okay, so just continue on here. For instance, we had this big old van back in the evangel days. We had all the kids throw them in the back, and my wife drove this big old van. The day came where the engine blew out, and we didn't have the money to buy a new engine, let alone a new car. And so I always wanted a white Suburban. So what do? If any two agree, it'll be done. We pray, Jesus, thank you for a white Suburban. That took less than 24 hours, and we were given a white Suburban. Come on, Jesus. I mean, fast forward. One time, a couple years ago, my wife says, it's been a while since we've really agreed on anything. I says, well, what do you need? She goes, this stove is dead. Okay, let's pray. She says, what do you need? I said, well, I've always wanted a big screen TV to watch the Green Bay Packers play football. Yeah. So we prayed. What happens in Jesus' name? In 2 weeks, she was given the money over $1,000 just totally anonymously to go buy her stove. The day after we get the stove, there's a knock on my door. No joke. A knock on my door, and there's a delivery man, and there's my big screen TV. Free. Just, I mean, just shows up, you know. How does that work? I don't know. I don't try to figure it out. I just know Jesus said, if you do this, this is what it'll do. I encourage you, friends. I mean, it was just like this about a year ago. Listen to this. My wife says, this refrigerator, it's rusted out. It's leaking. It's got all this. And then I had a rocking chair, the one I pray in the morning. It was broken on one side, so I'm rocking like, you know, sideways here. And it's not good. And so we agreed. Within 24 hours, we were given. We didn't tell anybody. We were given more than enough money. We went out and bought a refrigerator and bought a rocking chair, et cetera, et cetera. My friends, my point is, those are just material things. And sometimes things happen, sometimes things don't. But it's just like, for instance, my wife battled mental illness for many years. I did not know where to go, Marcus, to ask anybody for help. I did not know how to pray. You talk about wrestling through the promises. Was it easy to give in? Absolutely. But my friends, there's got to be something inside a believer by the Holy Spirit that says, you know what? Bring it on, devil. I'm going to hold on to the promise of God. And these are promises here that we're going to pursue this year. And so my wife, we prayed. We held together, hands together. We did intercession together almost every night for 4 or 5 years, Pastor Carol, because we knew the promises were true. Sometimes you got to get into the heat of the battle, into the belly of the beast, and you got to pray. You got to learn how. That's why we need one another to learn how to pray. My wife's a healed lady today. My wife's in charge of Impact School of Ministry here, and she's completely different than when she was. God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. Number three, position and empower yourself for breakthrough prayer. So here's what we want to close with here this morning and or this afternoon and encourage everybody with, is that you can make a decision right here, right now. Think about whatever your number one challenge is in life. You can position yourself right here, right now, to do what James says, the effectual fervent prayer of God's people has much power. And what happens is really, it's very simple. You know, the Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace. Isaiah says, before you call, I will answer you. I'll be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. Jesus said, your Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask. And so what happens is that you come before the Lord with expectation and prayer. You set aside all the questions. And then the second thing you do is, if we can throw the last slide up, is you just go to the promise. You hold on to the promise. You keep the promise in front of you. You write it on 3x5 cards. You put it in your car. You put it on your refrigerator. You have it before you. You let that be the preoccupation of your mind because Jesus is faithful. The devil's a liar. And what happens is when you position yourself, you get around believers. You get around people that can help you. You need prayer. You need healing. You need whatever. And then what happens is you can come to this promise. In fact, let's pray this again out loud. Let's say it. Ready, go. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. How many believe that promise here this morning, Gateway? How many believe that here this morning here? Father, I pray right now. Come on, just engage in prayer with me right now. Whatever it is, whatever you're great, you might be, there's people in this room with life and death situations. There's people in this room with financial challenges. There may be circumstances here this morning that may be seeming impossible. But Jesus, we come and position ourselves through breakthrough prayer. Because when everything is said and done, Lord Jesus, you said for us to ask and to believe that we receive. So right now, Father, let there be faith that rises up. Let there be an impartation right now, Father, of hope that springs up within the people of God. Father God, we just take authority over every lie of the enemy, all the discouragement, all the wasted time, Lord God, where we just, Lord, don't kind of just circle around not being effective, but we're making a statement before heaven and hell this day as a people of Gateway, Lord God, that we're going to be a people of prayer, a people of answered prayer, and we're going to see great things happen this year, Father, because we're positioning ourselves in prayer to believe for you for breakthrough in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Now, before we're going to go in and sing another song here, then we're going to have a time of ministry. Prayer team's going to come up here. We're going to be laying hands on people to impart blessing, etc. But there's one prayer that I want to make sure we pray here this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And that's the prayer where a person comes to know Jesus Christ for the very first time. For me, it was February 8th, 1976. Somebody says, you want to get born again? I said, what are you talking about? Somebody says, you want to know Jesus Christ? I said, well, I don't understand what you mean. And they led me in this simple, simple prayer. And I know this morning there are people here that need to come to Christ, need to open up your heart. Jesus said, come to me and I will no way reject you. There are people here this morning, they got a lot of questions. There's a need in their life regarding their family. There's hopelessness regarding circumstances. There are people here that may have walked with God at one time and have walked away. Right now, in Jesus' name, I want to encourage you to make that decision to this day, January 22nd, I'm going to live for God. I want to give my life over to Him 100% in Jesus' name. If that's you, raise your hand up quickly around this building here. Raise your hand up quickly. We want to just recognize there's hands all over the place. Anyone over here as well. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? I'm sure I'm sensing in my spirit there's a war going on right now. There's some people here. There's a reluctance. I have got so many questions. You know what? This is what we want to do. We want to help you answer those questions. Just say, yeah, raise your hand. I want to live for God. I want to live my life to know His goodness and His love. I see some more hands. God bless you. Let's just give a shout out this morning for all those people that are making a decision to serve Christ, to live for Him in Jesus' name. Let's all pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, come into my life. There's some things that I don't understand, but I know I need you. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And be my God. I turn my life over to you. All that I am, all the mistakes, all the failures, and this day, I ask you to give me a new life. Come into my life and be my Lord and be my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just praise God one more time here, Gateway. Hey, listen, we're going to receive the offering here, and we're going to go into worship here, but there's this card that's in the seat back in front of you here. If you prayed that prayer here for the first time, or if you're a guest here this morning, this afternoon for the first time, use that, fill that out. If you got questions about Jesus Christ, use this, fill it out, drop it in the offering basket as it comes by. We want to talk to you, we can help you, and we want to pray for you. So ushers, come on up to it, and we'll be taking our offering, tithes and offerings, blessing the Lord. And as we do that, Pastor Nicole, let's worship.
How many were encouraged by that word? Amen. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Time to put our prayers into the next gear and put faith into it, fuel our prayers and see them answered. Amen. We believe that. Let's worship together. Let's sing this. Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire. Oh, consume me here in your presence. Lord, I surrender to your glory, for your glory.
Sing that again. Oh, holy.
Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire. Oh, consume me here in your presence.
Surrender to Him.
Lord, I surrender to your glory, for your glory.
Living water, that river wild in me, immerse me in your mercy and open heaven crashing over me. Restore me in your glory. And oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire. Oh, consume me, Lord.
Let's stand, church. Let's stand and sing it with all your heart. Oh, holy. Come on, lift your voices. Burn like a fire. Consume. Call on your name, Jesus, as I call on your name, Jesus, as I call your name,
Jesus. Amen. I want to invite our prayer teams to come up here. And here's what I sense is going to happen. Some of you need prayer. This morning here, you need some breakthrough prayer, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, marriage, whatever. Go ahead. If we can have the prayer teams come up here. We're going to just close this out now. I'm going to speak a blessing over everybody here, but we want to have a time of prayer. If you need prayer, come on up here. But in the name of Jesus Christ, everybody just raise your hands. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be with your people, Lord God. And we just ask right now for the Holy Spirit to just rest upon the people. Friends, I just sense in my spirit that you need to be encouraged this morning. Father, we just raise our hands to you and just thank you that you're an encouraging God. You're a God who cares and loves and goes before us, Father God. And so we just join with one another this morning and we make a declaration that you're good and your mercy endures forever, that you're a faithful God. You said if we ask anything in your name, you would do it. And Lord, you're doing it. So right now, Lord, we just release our faith. Come on, just release it to the Lord. Whatever it is you're standing for before the Lord, just make a declaration. God, thank you for whatever it is you're praying for. Thank you for working in my family. Thank you for working in my job. Thank you in Jesus' name. And let's just spend a time right now because I believe, Pastor John, there's an impartation. In fact, come on up here right now. If anybody needs prayer, come on up to the front. We'll just have the teams here begin praying. But I'm sensing in my spirit that there's an encouraging spirit, strong hold that God wants to break over the people of God here, that says the lies of last year will not continue to hound you, will not continue to overflow you, but there will be a continuation of God's goodness this year. And to pray bold prayers, pray effective prayers, pray prayers that will change the very atmosphere. And watch and see what I will do this year in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless the people of Gateway, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go get signed up. Grow Track, Salt and Light. Come up here if you need prayer. But God bless you. We'll see you next week. God bless.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our